Welcome to Windsor Christian Fellowship Church Podcast. Our church vision is to win generations to Christ, connect them to His master plan, empower them to succeed, and grow the kingdom of God. For other podcast resources or more information about Windsor Christian Fellowship, please visit us at www.wcf.ca.
Well, we've been in a series, The Days of Noah, and last week we talked about the Nephilim, and today we're talking about the reality of the obscure. So can you join me in welcoming up Pastor RJ, Pastor Larry, and Jacqueline.
Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Okay, so we've been working through Days of Noah. We kind of established the attack on the image bearer, where Satan's agenda in the earth is to destroy the image bearers, which is us humans who are made in God's image and likeness. And last week we started with the Nephilim. We're going to be talking about the reality of the obscure today, or the unknown, and some things that are maybe harder to talk about. This is a harder conversation for people, but that's okay. We need to have real conversations in church, okay? And it's all going to Satan's endgame with transhumanism, which we're going to get to in a few weeks. That said, we have Jacqueline up here with us today, so why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself as we get started?
Hi, my name. I have to pick that up. Hi, my name is Jacqueline Lane. I'm a greeter here in the church. I work over at WLO. My husband is Norm Lane. We've been married about 32 years. I have a daughter, Emily Lane, and her husband is Jacob. And I said this morning, I'm happy to be here. Not so happy to be up here, but I'm getting used to it. But my hope and prayer is that others are set free by my testimony.
Yeah, which she's going to share in a second. So foundationally for today's lesson, how many are aware that there is a great deception happening on planet Earth today? Many people have fallen into deception, and they believe lies. That said, Psalms chapter 8, starting in verse 3, when I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? You made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. In verse 5, that word God is Elohim, divine ones, godlike, rulers, judges, angels is another definition that you see in the book of Hebrews in some of the translations. And essentially what this verse tells me is mankind is the highest order of created being because humans were made in the image of God. Everyone hear me say that? If mankind is the highest sort of created being, that also tells me that there's no alien creatures out there that are going to come to planet Earth, because we certainly aren't going to other planets or solar systems or galaxies, blah, 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 okay? If mankind is the highest sort of created being, aliens didn't create humans, God did. We're not an experiment gone bad. We weren't put here to mine gold. We weren't put here to be surrogates. We weren't put here to be their slaves, okay? God made man and woman in his image. And so God doesn't believe in aliens. You guys are looking at me like, what?
But I saw a UFO. What about UFOs?
So, Pastor Larry, my first question for you is, were you under the influence of something at
Nope,
the time
I don't drink.
That you saw? So, you weren't tripping. We know that most of the UFO sightings are just natural phenomena. Okay, so people have seen ball lightning and, oh my gosh, I saw it. But there is some of the sightings, can everyone say some?
Some.
That are truly supernatural in nature. And last week we started talking a little bit about angels and demons. Angels, we know, are interdimensional beings. Can everyone say interdimensional? Which means they can operate in the spirit realm or the natural realm. And you see this throughout the scripture where angels appeared before Mary or Joseph or Zechariah or even Abraham or Lot. Angels appeared in the natural realm. So they're interdimensional. beings that can operate in both the spirit dimension and the natural dimension. There's a great deception that's happening in our world today because there's fallen angels and then there's the demons, as we talked about last week. People are encountering these spirits and they're getting confused between what's an alien or a UFO and what's a spirit being. So it seems that there's this growing acceptance in the culture that there really is alien beings and that there really is, you know, UFOs and that kind of thing. And, you know, you see all kinds of newsreels and AI-created newsreels that are talking about this, but there's no UFOs coming filled with aliens to take you away and experiment on you. They're not going to conquer planet Earth, okay? And I know all of you are like, oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Great sigh of relief. Now that we've cleared that up, but I do want you to keep in mind something. Part of the deception that you see going on right now is linked to technology. And we'll be talking about this maybe in 3 or 4 weeks, I guess, on some things. But I don't know if you've seen it, but in Dubai, they have these holographic whales. Has anyone seen the holographic whales that fly through the sky? And they come out of the fountains, and they look really real to the people that are watching them.
Very real.
And you would think that there's a whale floating by if you didn't know better. Now, for me, when I think about stuff like that, I'm like, how hard would it be for them to take that hologram and substitute a whale for an alien spaceship with an alien coming out of it? And then they could create some real destruction, and the eyewitnesses would say, well, I saw an alien spaceship come down, and look, they leveled the city. Well, we could do the same thing with a missile. Anyway, the point is, Pastor, why are you trying to scare me? I'm not. Did anyone hear me say I'm not? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to scare you on any of these topics, but I don't want you to be deceived. And the Bible is very clear when it says, fear not. 360-something times it says, don't be afraid, fear not. Okay. We walk and we live by faith, not by fear. That's how we're supposed to live. But the problem is, when we get caught up into the deception, we end up in a place of fear, and then we don't know what to do. And then we're not operating in faith. So these interdimensional spirits that are operating in both the physical and the natural world, okay, some of them are going to have evil intention towards humans and impure desire. And so let's just say this. If you hear the word alien abduction out there, it probably means that demonic spirits are attacking humanity or operating with humans, interacting with humans. Okay, so when you're watching a news feed or when you're hearing people talk about aliens, it's likely they encountered a spirit being that's an interdimensional being. Unless they were tripping on something or they confused some natural phenomena like ball lightning or, you know, blah, blah, blah. That said, Pastor Larry.
So with this fear that is overcome by a lot of people, fear actually prohibits your ability to mentally process properly. And so sometimes people, they get caught up in these supernatural experiences. And for different people, it's always different, but it can be, you know, it can be something that happened in their childhood where they have some kind of an experience, whether it's inflicted from themselves or something that was inflicted upon them, that brings them into a cycle of fear. And a lot of times, shame and guilt is associated with these attacks because they don't have a clue what's going on. And Jacqueline's going to be talking in more depth about that. But the reality is, in our culture, in our society, there is a demonic attack on sexuality. There's a demonic attack on child trafficking, on sex trade. And even simply, I mean, if you can isolate yourselves from that, even as an image bearer, there is a demonic attack to destroy you from believing that you are, in fact, a true, pure representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the things that we know for certain, and the Bible tells us that eternity is placed on the hearts of all humanity. Our children grow up with this natural longing and this need for some form of spirituality. But in our Western culture, there is a shift or a move away from God and everything associating with God. And it leaves this void, this deep void in the lives or in the hearts of children growing up. And they open themselves up for everything that is down the lines of darkness. And we see more and more of this as we progress with transgender and even becoming other things and cats, whatever. But you know, when you think about that, it can instill fear. And one of the things that Jacqueline's going to be talking more about is the aspect of sleep paralysis. But in Psalms 91, verse 5, just the first part of the verse, it says, "Don't be afraid of the terrors of the night." Sometimes we wonder if this is actually something that's real, or is it psychotic, or what is it? But you know, the Bible talks about it. The Hebrew word translated terror in that verse is pachad, which refers to an overwhelming fear that paralyzes a person to the point of impairing speech. Pachad is dreadful fear that grips a person with an intensity that leaves him or her completely speechless. And that's a quote from deepthingsofgod.com. Another verse that talks about this is Isaiah 21, verse 4, where the prophet is saying, "My mind reels and my heart races. I longed for evening to come, but now I am terrified of the dark." So we know Scripture, this isn't something new. Scripture talked about, you know, the fears of the night, and sometimes for others, it's even the fears of just going to sleep.
So we're going to switch to our bookend mode, and we're going to turn this over to Jacqueline now. But I just want to say this foundationally. Jacqueline is really courageous to come up here and share with you on some sensitive topics about her experience with these interdimensional beings. And there's some things we're going to talk about today that people don't like to talk about, but I feel we need to talk about. Because there's a lot of shame associated with this, and there's a lot of people that think that maybe that their mind is not working properly when they encounter these interdimensional beings. And so with that as a foundation, Jacqueline, share away.
Okay, so my nightmares, they're demonic nightmares, but I didn't know that at the time, probably started around age 5. If there was any before that, I wouldn't remember, but around age 5. And I also want to emphasize that I had been sexually abused as a child, family members, a neighborhood boy, and a teacher. And what I want to stress or emphasize is, you know, the enemy, along with trying to eliminate threats to his kingdom through abortion, you see that? I believe the enemy uses sexual abuse by whatever entry means, whether it's through witchcraft, the occult, pattern of abuse through a family line. The enemy's goal is to steal, kill, and destroy the image bearer. And this act of violence and violation to a person or a child, you know, it changes who you are, what God created you to be. It changes who you are. The shame, the guilt that's added to it, the continual nightmares that I experienced just compounded the shame and the guilt. And, you know, we're the Lord's temple. We're just supposed to house his glory, his spirit. And so I believe just like in the days of old there, where the enemy attacked the temple, his goal was to destroy it. We are that temple now. And so he's going to do everything in his power, the enemy that is, to desecrate it, to destroy it, to replace or try to replace God's spirit with something else, with him. So my nightmare started at age 5. And what I recall or remember is always something in them trying to take me. I'd go to wake up family members. They couldn't be woken up, so I assumed maybe they were dead. but I was taken, and I would be in the house, and all of a sudden I wasn't in the house. I'd either be in some form of warehouse or some building. Sometimes it was just myself. trying to escape, and sometimes there were other children there. That's about the extent of what I can remember, other than I'd always wake up screaming. And these nightmares continued on, and they worsened as I became a teenager. What changed as I became a teenager was I not only experienced these nightmares, but almost a violation. And I wasn't sure at first what was going on, whether this was a repressed memory or something else or evil. I couldn't put a name to it, but I'm convinced it was a spirit or evil. And so in these dreams, it felt like a violation. And as I was waking up or coming out of it, I could see a form above me. And sometimes even still like very real, feeling like a hand here or on my side. And I would be paralyzed. I couldn't move. I couldn't scream. I didn't know what I was experiencing. And besides that, which I also found disturbing, was I'm trying to wake. I'm trying to move. And it was as if something was pulling me back in. My eyes were very heavy. And I'm a very light sleeper. So it was like there was a fight going on, but I didn't know what I was fighting. It was as if someone hit a pause button, okay, and I could easily be taken back in right where it left off. And so those continued quite a bit as a teenager, and I didn't know what I was doing. It was terrifying. And not only did I experience these nightmares, I started seeing some kind of form or a spirit with my waking eyes. The only way I could describe it, because it can take any form, was that the first time I saw the Passion of the Christ and what represented evil, if anybody had ever seen that movie, was the hooded being, with whether it was a male or female, that's exactly what it looked like. It kind of took me aback, like how did they, you know, figure that out, or how did they know that? That's similar to what the spirit had looked like. So that's what I saw, and at one point I remember lying in bed, and I even had instances where the end of the bed would go down, like something would lower. So I didn't know what I was dealing with. Around the same time, my mother had come to know the Lord, and she started entering a Pentecostal church. And so she was aware of some of these things going on, but didn't really speak about it, didn't know what to do about it herself, other than I believe she was talking to the pastor there, and the pastor would just continue saying, you know, pray for her. I started attending that church, or the Pentecostal church, myself. We had other family members attending there, and eventually I accepted the Lord. So now I have God's seed planted in me, but I'm still struggling with these nightmares. I also want to back up a minute. Also, it got to the point as a teenager, this hopelessness and depression set in very strongly, where I didn't have a sense of purpose, why I was here. I almost believe, too, that these nightmares that were happening, it almost felt like I was doing something wrong, or I felt there must be something evil in me. I must not, you know, something's wrong with me. I must not belong here. And so I did attempt suicide. I had taken some pills and maybe half a bottle of alcohol that I had found in the house. And I thought, in my thinking, okay, now I'm not going to have to suffer anymore. Now I will have maybe some peace. I'm going to see God. You know, I had a concept of God, but not a concept of who Jesus Christ was. So when I woke up from that the next morning, I was very upset because it didn't work, because I wanted my pain and suffering to end. It did take some effect, though. I couldn't function properly. I was in and out of consciousness, and my mother had found me. She called some neighbors. They brought me to the hospital, and from there they wanted to have me admitted into the psychiatric ward. And I remember sitting there in that ward at one point and looking around, and I just turned to my mom and said, I don't belong here. And she said, what? And I said, I don't belong here. I'm not crazy. I don't belong here. And so she didn't have me admitted. I did have to talk maybe, you know, to a social worker or a psychiatrist. But I knew what I was experiencing was real. And I, you know, couldn't understand or comprehend why I didn't want to live, but I didn't want to go on like this. But I knew I was not crazy. Once I came to the Lord and a seed was planted, I didn't have that hopelessness. It was like that was gone. At least that was gone, or that was taken from me. I now had a purpose in living, and so now I'm serving the Lord, and I'm excited about it, and I'm inviting people out to church, and it seemed easy, you know, because you attract people, you know, to yourself when you have God's Spirit in you. But the enemy doesn't like that. And so I believe what was happening was the enemy was wanting to snatch that seed that God had planted, and so the nightmare started again. And when the nightmare started again, it just brings you right back. All of a sudden, you have the same shame and guilt and that trauma. And I'm thinking, what on earth is going on here? I'm saved now. I'm a Christian. Why am I still having these? And so they continued. I'm now married. My husband knows I'm going through this. He knows I'm experiencing this. He was raised in a Pentecostal church. His dad's side is a Mennonite, and his mom was a Pentecostal. And sadly, it's not something they touch on, or they didn't touch on in that church. And even the church that I was in, I eventually went to the head pastor, and I explained a little of what I was, you know, going through. And what he said was, don't give the enemy more power than he deserves. And I said, I didn't know what that meant. There's some truth in it, because, you know, he who is in me or in us is greater than the one that is in the world. And so we do have that authority to cast down these spirits. And we are, you know, more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So there is some truth in that. But I wasn't given the tools or equipped to know how to overcome this or take the authority over these things. And so he had said that. I also had another dream, more demonic, where I actually saw these demonic beings or creatures snatching young people, taking the young people as I'm witnessing it. And it was very disturbing, but I knew even back then, 25 years ago, that the enemy was after the younger generation, and he was just snatching them, and I'm watching this happen. So I told another pastor at this church, and he commented, wow, that's some dream. So I'm thinking, all right, that's two strikes. At that point, I had booked counseling for myself. This is a little later down the road, but the same church. And someone must have said something to my mom. She found out, and she approached me in the hallway, in the foyer, and basically just started yelling at me. I was humiliated. You know, you want to blame the parents. This is all the parents' fault. And I said, you don't understand. You don't understand why I need this or why I'm going to counseling. Sadly, though, I didn't go. I didn't go. And so they continued, and they continued even throughout my marriage, on and off. But they did, and eventually I just stopped going to church. I hadn't dealt with the issues from childhood. I didn't talk about any of this. I was basically told not to talk about any of this. Nobody knew that I had tried, no family members other than my immediate family members knew that I had attempted to take my own life. And so I kept quiet about it, and I just suffered through it. And it was difficult. It was difficult. You're basically being tormented. And just like you're saying, you're paralyzed with fear, and you can't stand when night comes. You do not want to go to sleep. And my husband was praying for me, but like I said, he didn't even have was equipped to really deal with this. Until he started coming to this church, because I was already out of the other church, so I think he was, you know, looking for that church, so to speak, where we could both be in. And so he came here, and at one point he had said to me, you need to come to this church. They can help you. And I said, no. And he's like, no, Jacqueline, he goes, I promise you, they teach on this stuff. They know how to deal with it. They deal with this all the time. It's not out of their sphere. And I said, no. Eventually, though, I relented. And I did come, and it was two women. It was actually Rita Laporte and Christine LeBeouf, I believe her name is, that prayed over me. And, it seemed like nothing to them. They just prayed over me, and at one point, Rita had said, I sense witchcraft. And I said, oh, like rebellion, because they're connected, because I'm thinking I had stepped away from the church, being rebellious. And she said, no, witchcraft. And I said, I really didn't understand what she was talking about, but I said, I don't care, just get rid of it, get rid of it all, you know, like, I want done with it. And so they prayed over me. There was this, just a sense of freedom and a lifting. I had been filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with a heavenly language. I was flown on cloud nine when I left there. But she also equipped me, and she had given me pages to speak over myself, scripture verses, like, you're the head and not the tail. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And so it's not as if the nightmares stopped all of a sudden. They continued. I had to learn how to take authority over them. And so I kept reading this stuff over and over, and it took maybe 3 months before I didn't have another nightmare. And 6 months would pass, 8 months, all of a sudden a nightmare would come back. I thought, what happened? Well, I had to continue to fight. It's not God being cruel. He's not the one doing this to me. We're equipped. We're given that authority to take down the dark forces, right, and the principalities. And so this is what I needed to do, and I did it. And I conquered it. Now, obviously, coming to this and preparing for this, I had maybe two nightmares. I haven't had one since because now I know how to handle it.
Doing good.
Okay. Any questions?
I just want to touch base on a couple things from our conversation earlier. The first thing that I wanted you to just kind of mention to everybody, when you were waking up, there was like this experiential state that you were in. How would you describe that?
It honestly, and not that I've ever been drugged, but that's what it felt like. Like I was heavily sedated or some kind of drug coming up out of it. Now, prior to me coming to the Lord, I didn't know what I was dealing with other than I'm fighting to stay awake and I can't stay awake, right? And so as I said, it's like I'm awake, but I'm being pulled back in. Now, once I was a believer and understood what I was dealing with, then becomes the battle. Because even once I was a believer, I still had that where I'm waking up and it feels like a heaviness, like you're forcing your eyes and your body to move. You're in a battle. And so I would grab my Bible or start praying or start reading, and sometimes it could take half an hour, sometimes it would take an hour before I would feel like a peace or it leaving, to be able to rest again and know that I could sleep and not be taken back into it.
Mm-hmm. And I think you shared with us that Norm has even witnessed some of the...
Yeah, so the one thing that he witnessed was similar to what I had as a teenager, what we were getting ready for bed, and then we were getting into bed and sitting there and just kind of talking, and the end of the bed goes down. And I said, did you see that? And he's like, yes, I saw. I go, you saw that, right? Because I wanted to clarify that it wasn't just me. And he said, yes, I did. So he saw the same thing. So I want to stress, too, that, you know, sometimes, yeah, true, you know, when people say, oh, there's a house haunting or anything, it's you're dealing with demonic spirits, right? And maybe they're in a particular house, and so it's wise to spiritually clean your house. I've done that. But I don't believe our house was haunted. I believe this was a familiar spirit following me or trying to attach itself to me.
And often spirits, we'll call them demons for the sake of this conversation right now, operate under legal terms. In other words, they have to have some sort of a legal point of entry or a legal permission to operate. Pastor Larry, why don't you explain that a little bit?
Mark 1:27. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. Actually, it's the disciples talking. Jesus had just cast out some demons. And in Mark 1:27, it says, amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. What sort of new teaching is this? They asked excitedly. It has such authority. Even evil spirits obey his orders. And, you know, it's important that we understand as a believer that the demons are not allowed to just do whatever they want to do. They're not allowed. There is a very specific order that they have to follow. And they can tempt us, and temptation is what makes the believer stronger in their spiritual walk. But they can do that. But the demonic only has access or the ability to possess, oppress, unless invited. So we can invite a demon to participate with us through a movie we're watching or a game that we play that's very demonic. You know, some people think it's fun to watch horror movies. I'm telling you, it's not. That's a gateway into your life. But it can also happen as well through repeated sin. If you repeatedly sin, you give the devil a foothold and an opportunity to enter. But it can also happen from your ancestry through something that they have done or committed to, where they've been given rights and the generational sins are passed down from generation to generation. And there's another thing that I think we need to all be very cautious of is that every individual has the power to bless and to curse. And at times, unaware, we do in fact curse others, or even our own children. And because they're not aware of their authority, they may at times even receive it without even being aware of it. So, and the curse always carries with it some form of a spiritual attachment.
Doing okay?
Yep.
Okay. Which leads us to Jesus coming to earth, dying on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. He brings, purchased, absolute freedom from any of Satan's attacks or his operations. So that means as a Christ follower, you have 100% freedom from Satan's operation in your life. And the only authority that Satan has in your life is the authority that you give him, as Pastor Larry is talking about, through open doors, when you invite him in, when you get into sin and rebellion against God through your actions and attitudes that are opposed to him, and even through generational curses that we haven't yet dealt with the blood of Jesus. But I'll say this, there's no generational curse that's greater than the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
There's no possible way that as a Christ follower, you cannot come to total freedom in this arena. And two things. One, if you were to look in Genesis 4, and we kind of were talking about that a little bit last week, and there's a guy named Lamech who's the son of Enoch, who's the son of Cain. Anyway, in Cain's line, it says he married two women. The first was Adah, the second was Zillah. But it goes on and it talks about his first wife gave birth to Jabal, who was the first to raise livestock and live in tents. Jubal was the first of all who play harp and flute. And then the other wife, Zillah, gave birth to a son, Tubal-Cain, who became an expert in forging tools of bronze and iron. And then it says he had a sister named Naamah, but it doesn't really tell us a lot about what she does. But normally in the scriptures, when you see a woman named, especially in the Old Covenant, there's some importance mm-hmm. to that name. For me, I find it interesting, and some of this is a little bit theoretical because we don't really know for sure, but it seems that, especially with these generational curses, there was this potential for trading of knowledge or trading of wealth for access to the children or access to the women in the family specifically. And I read a book by Karen Wilkinson that talked about stolen seed. She talks about where her grandfather made a deal basically with an interdimensional being for knowledge, and then he built his empire, but then all the women came under that generational curse. And we've seen many people that kind of operate under, they don't even know they're operating in a generational curse, and Satan has a legal point of entry. But what I want to get to is Colossians 2, verse 8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, so that the spiritual powers of this world can communicate information, rather than from Christ. For Christ lives in all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is head over every ruler and authority. In verse 11 and 12 and 13, it talks about more of the cutting away of the old and circumcision. But in verse 14, he canceled, Jesus canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away, by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So when Jesus went to the cross, he definitively, once and for all, ended Satan's ability to operate in the life of the believer. And if you, by faith, access the freedom that you have, you will come to that place of freedom.
Yeah.
Jacqueline shared her story where, you see, there was these interdimensional beings. They took her to a place. She said it was like a warehouse or a room. Some people say it was a ship. Some people, like, there's different. They took her somewhere. It was like she hit pause and went back to that same place in time. She felt like she was drugged. She felt like she was a little bit. So these spirit beings, when they're operating, there was paralysis. There was a violation. There was a, like, because of this, these things were operating through the bloodline. They had a legal point of entry in her life. Then she came to Christ, got victory through Jesus's victory, and then she had to go to war in her mind to learn how to stand firm against the wiles of the enemy. And now she's walking in victory. Even when Satan will throw a dart her way, she has the shield of faith that rises up. She declares the word of God. Am I correct? And you withstand the assault, and then you walk in freedom. This is how we are to live as Christ followers.
Yeah.
When Satan tries to come in, we raise up our shield of faith, we declare the word of God over the situation, and we stand firm on his truth. Thoughts? Go ahead.
Yeah, just, it's hard, you know, what Jacqueline has done by coming up here. And you know, when we met before, you know, she looks composed and everything, but I could feel she was shaking. There's a lot of fear in coming up here. But at the same time, the confidence and the boldness, knowing that there is a purpose in this. And Revelation 12, verse 11 says, Satan is defeated by the blood of the Lamb, which is the work of the cross, which Colossians talks about. But it's also by the word of your testimony. And as you declare testimony of the goodness of God, you know, you're putting to death the ways of the enemy. And Jacqueline even referenced this before, like when it's a secret, when you guard it and protect it, he has control over that. But when you testify it, when you confess it, that's when he loses his foothold. And so I just, you know, I'm thankful for your testimony. And like you said, right in the very beginning, I just pray that for many here and those even listening on live stream, that there is hope. There is hope. And there is freedom that can be found in this.
In the scriptures, it says, humble yourself before Almighty God. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you.
Yeah.
Okay. If pride's operating in your life, you can resist the devil all day, but he's got a legal point of entry.
Yeah.
So when we humble ourselves and we submit ourselves to God, we're falling and we're under his authority, then we stand firm against the enemy and he has to leave.
Yeah. He has to.
Let's stand together. Was there anything else you wanted to share? You're good? Fathers, we have the bread in our hand today. I thank you for the absolute power of God and the freedom that you made available to us through the cross. I thank you that, as our sister has shared today, Lord, courageously about her experience with some of these things, there's many others who have also experienced this, Lord. They've been ashamed or afraid to discuss it or talk about it or even really to understand what was happening. But Jesus, I thank you that you're shedding some light on the operation of the enemy, that we don't have to be deceived. We don't have to be waylaid. We don't have to be stuck in Satan's plan. That we, because of the cross, have the freedom to walk in freedom in Christ. So Jesus, your body was broken for us. And that's to restore us in our bodies, that we can be healthy and whole, mind, body, and spirit. That our minds are at peace. And that we have the courage and the ability to stand firm on the word of God, to raise up our shield of faith, as it talks about in Ephesians 6. And to withstand the enemy that tries to destroy us as image bearers of the one true God who created us. So help us, Lord, to boldly declare your truth, to boldly stand firm on your promises, and that in the warfare, Lord, that we would have the sense of mind and the calmness of spirit, that we could stand firm on the truth of your word, that God has not given us fear, but he's given us love. That we can take up faith and hope, and that we can arise as the church and walk victorious and free from Satan's plans to destroy us.
And Father God, I just praise you and I thank you for this cup, a reminder of your shed blood for the forgiveness of sins. Father God, every time that we partake of this cup, may we be reminded of the significance of that, Father, that Satan is defeated by your blood that was shed, and that we can have victory because of it. We have power, we have authority over the schemes of the enemy. Father God, I declare over everyone hearing my voice this morning, Father God, that they receive confidence in knowing that there is hope in their attacks. There is hope in the enemy's assault. May they receive and be washed anew in the blood of Jesus Christ and given new hope, new confidence, and freedom in Jesus' blood.
Hey, there it is. Thank you, Pastor RJ and team, for sharing that word with us. You know, one of the things you talked about is the great deception in this world. The enemy would like us to believe that he doesn't exist. You know, that everything takes place in the physical, and it's a focus on the physical. But the reality is the unseen world is more real than the seen world. And that if we believe that we are influenced by the Holy Spirit to walk our walk of faith in obedience to Christ and following our Father, then we have to also believe that there is an unholy spirit trying to get us to not do that. Now, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. So if it's a spiritual war, then you need to use spiritual weapons. And if you try to fight it with physical weapons, you'll find yourself on the defeated end of that battle. And so we've learned that, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. The enemy wants to destroy us. As image bearers, that's his plan, and separate us from our Father. But I heard that the weapon we're supposed to use is the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. This is how we defeat him. We speak the truth against the lies that he tries to bring to our mind. Lies against God, lies against our own identity. The other thing I heard is that the importance of the words that we speak over one another. Unknowingly, we curse one another with our mouths. We speak things that allow us to really be a tool in the enemy's hands rather than a tool in our Father's, right? So we have to put a guard at our mouth. Be careful what we say. Windsor Christian Fellowship, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, the altar is open for you if you need prayer. But Windsor Christian Fellowship, you have been equipped. Now go. Amen.